watch the struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct turn here, Stadium Time is 8:28 Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the friendly folks at collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I'm Drew Croson, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, at Son of Crow on Venmo. Gotta get that one right. Across the internet is the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S is for show notes.
No show notes.
To the other side of me, yeah, no show notes tonight. The other side of me giving you full Fort Payne ASMR. A man who has seen Smokey the Bandit probably during this quarantine, if I had to guess. A man who is really excited about the new seasons of Clone Wars. A man who probably has really hardcore feelings about whether or not going into light speed is an effective means of weaponry against a Star Destroyer. The AU chief.
Konnichiwa.
On today's show, we're going to talk about a couple of hypotheticals, and we have a guest, my brother of Son of Crow.
It still I'm makes him Son him of Crow, right?
My
other sure. Son of Crow.
Other Son of Crow.
Other original Son of Crow. I'm going to give him the headphones. Real quick, and you guys can ask him questions, and then I can ask him questions too.
Okay.
Because I can hear myself.
Sure.
And he can hear
That'll
you.
That'll work.
Something like that.
And we can hear you.
All right, so this is my brother Luke. Luke, introduce yourself.
Howdy. How's it going?
Good.
Great, Luke. How are you?
Man, I am hanging in there. Had some good Plucker's wings tonight and some cold beer. Can't get any better than that.
So. Shout out to Plucker's Wings.
Is that a local
place? They want to sponsor us.
That's right.
A local Texas wing.
Shinerbach beer.
A local Texas wing establishment.
Is it a Plano-only establishment, or is it Texas-wide?
No, it's based out of Austin, Texas, right. I think. So.
All right.
Started by Tea Sippers, as they're called here.
Tea Sippers.
Texas fans.
Luke has a little more Texas to him, to his voice, than old Son of Crow there.
Yeah, I tend to, when I tell people I'm from East Texas behind the curtain of pine curtain, then I usually tell people that Matthew McConaughey is our homegrown Longview, Texas boy. So I try to I sometimes sound more like him than most. So, but yeah, no, I'm an East Texas boy and made my way over to Auburn. And I always told people while I was at Auburn that I was on a leave of absence from the great state of Texas, so that I would always come back. So
he was a Texpat, as it's called.
Ah, Texpat.
There we go.
Just like Jared Stidham.
That's right.
Now, in a way, we could say that you are actually the reason we got Jared. Without
yeah.
you,
yeah,
there
that's
is
true.
No we got Jared.
That's true. That's valid. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like to really take too much credit on the fact that my younger brother and younger sister followed me to Auburn because they couldn't make up their minds to go anywhere else. So I'm the one that made the decision, hey, let's venture out and go to Auburn, Alabama for school. So
I'm going to ask Luke a question that we ask a lot of people who come on. What is your earliest Auburn sports memory? When did your Auburn sports consciousness awaken?
So, funny story. So, took the Ames test for aptitude test in senior in high school, and to kind of figure out what I was good at, what I might be able to major in, what colleges would be a good size and fit for me. And we're going through the list with the, they're not a doctor, but whatever they are, the
counselor
person at the end or whatever, and. And Auburn was on the list, and I was like, Auburn. And my dad said, hey, that's where Charles Barkley and Frank Thomas went to school, and Bo Jackson. And I went, oh, well, then we can go there. Because I was a huge Charles Barkley fan growing up because, I mean, I played basketball in high school, and my number was 34 because I loved the way Charles Barkley played. I mean, smaller than most, but was not going to be denied, and – Never found a guy that he couldn't pick a fight with.
Right.
So I was like, man, that is a guy I'm gonna model my game after for sure. So, yeah, no, Charles Barkley was my first Auburn consciousness, I guess.
What was the first game you remember going to?
So I was there in 01, fall of 01. So it'd have been.
Because you didn't go to any games until you enrolled.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, you can go visit for a game.
No. Not unless they accidentally played someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, unless they accidentally played somebody that I was watching in a bowl game that I don't remember.
Right.
But, yeah. No, that was only when I was enrolled.
Yeah, I think.
Was my first game. And I can't – fall of 01, that would have been – first game off the bat was that Southern Cal at Southern Cal or was that
– 01, yeah. No,
I can't remember.
01 at Southern Cal at Southern Cal was 02 because that was my freshman year.
Okay,
would have opened with Ball State and then Ole Miss week two.
Ole Miss was a Thursday game as well, was it not, right?
Yeah.
No, it looks like a Saturday.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so those were my first entries into Auburn fandom. So.
But you tore a goalpost down.
Yeah.
I did. I was there for the Florida kick, Duval and all that, so that was good stuff. So.
I remember watching that game with our dad, and Auburn wins with the Duval kick, and that might be my first Auburn game. Now I think about it, my first Auburn game I ever watched on TV was that Florida game, and Auburn wins with the kick, and students rush the field, and I remember our dad going, "I know for a fact my son is too smart to be on that field carrying a goalpost down." And then Luke calls dad from his cell phone and is like, "I'm on the field, tearing the goalpost down." Like, literally, whatever my dad just said were the first words that came out of his mouth. Like, oh my gosh.
Heck yeah.
Be smart.
Heck
be safe.
Heck yeah.
That's great. That's good stuff. Ryan?
What's up?
Got any questions?
So you were there during the years Auburn basketball was actually last good. You got any memories from there? Because it seems like there's basically a gap from the time you would have been there until the last 3 years.
Sure. Yeah. So Marquise Daniels.
Okay.
All right. So I remember we went two spring breaks in a row. We went to Clearwater, Florida for spring training stuff and hanging out on the beach. And that was the second year. So that had been 04. Well, yeah, 04
was March of 04, I believe.
March
right?
of 04 is when Wake Forest, Auburn in Tampa, in the would that be the sweet? No, that'd be the.
It was the round of 32, yeah.
Yeah, so we played. It was Michigan State, Florida, the game before. We got to see that great bout. Michigan State was really good that year, and then we got to see Marquise Daniel versus Josh Howard from Wake Forest, and both of them ended up being teammates on the Mavericks.
Both Dallas Maverick greats.
Yeah, right. So pull it all together from the all the way back. It always comes back.
So,
fun fact: Marquise Daniels, because of the way the rookie pay scale works in the NBA, Marquise Daniels made more money his rookie year than LeBron James, though they were rookies the same year.
Yeah.
Because LeBron had to sign the pay scale, and Marquise signed as an unrestricted free agent. So in salary, he actually made more money than LeBron.
Hilarious.
Man.
Two of the greats right there.
Yeah, two of two. The greats. Same sentence. Used in the same sentence.
LeBron and Marquise.
That's right.
Marquise really has a great career, though. So that's, I mean.
Yeah, right. Like I said, right there with LeBron.
That's right. Right there with LeBron.
I'd love to ask, speaking of LeBron, I'd love to ask Marquise who the hardest, because he was a defensive specialist in the NBA, though he wasn't known for his defense at Auburn.
No, he was garbage at Auburn on defense. Like, he just didn't play it.
Mm-hmm. I want to know, like, I love hearing NBA players talk about who the hardest player they ever defended was, and I want to hear who Marquise is. Because I listened to a podcast the other day about Steve Nash's hardest player he ever defended was Baron Davis. And I was so shocked by that.
Wild. It's a lot.
Because you're like, Baron Davis, okay.
Yeah.
But apparently he said Baron Davis is so thick that you'd wake up the next day with like bruises and like sore all over after defending him for a full game. But everybody
I imagine if you're Steve Nash, you're not the biggest guy either. So.
No, yeah. I mean, my memories of Auburn basketball, though, during my tenure there was the fact that Beard Eves, you could just put your feet over the seat in front of you. There's nobody there.
Yep, unfortunately.
And so you're going just because you like basketball at that point. So, it was slim pickings until here recently. So,
because you were there at the last couple of years of the Cliff Dwellers,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And then probation. And then
Jeff Lebo.
Jeff Lebo.
So who's the real Texas Bagman right now? Is it you or Drew?
Bagman.
So it's probably me. I'm probably the real Texas Bagman. So
it's been some time short the last couple weeks.
Guys,
hey, look, I moved to Texas, and all I know is that we got like 7 commits from Texas since I moved
that's
here.
That's right. No, I get a phone call. You know, I get a phone call. Hey, I need you to go down to North Shore. Hey, I need you to go to Decatur, Texas. I need you to go to down to Duncanville, you know, Plano East, you know, Allen, you know, just kind of show up and just kind of knock on a door. And
hey, look, this is Coach Malzahn. I really need you to go down over there to Galena, Texas, and look at this tight end for me. Thanks, War Eagle.
Anything for you, Gus.
We have – I mean, how many guys have we gotten from Texas in the last month?
So Drew was saying at dinner tonight that it was – we've had 7 from the state of Texas in the last 10 years, and then we have 7 currently on our class for
– 21.
For 2021.
This is a Justin Ferguson tweet that I probably butchered, but I think that that's – I think that those –
In the 21 class, you got 1, 2.
All right, Luke, what is.
Just three right now.
What are the. Oh, wait. What is the high and low? Give me the high of your Auburn tenure in any sport and the low. What is the lowest you felt as an Auburn fan?
So, the low, I'll start with the low. The low is probably a tie, and the low is probably either getting handed to us 23-0 from Southern Cal when we thought we were
touchdown Auburn, man.
You know, thinking, yeah, we're gonna all chant it after we score, and then we didn't score then, and we didn't score the week after that either. I believe that was Georgia Tech. Yeah, that's tied with the Alabama game my freshman year. I thought, man, I'm gonna take this date to the game. This is how we're supposed to do all this. It's my first Iron Bowl. This is supposed to be a big deal. It's at Auburn. And it was like 33-3, I think, or something.
31-7.
I mean, I left before the end of the game and thought, this is ridiculous. I got a 9-hour drive back to Texas for Thanksgiving. I'm getting the heck out of here. I'm going to get on the road before all the traffic.
Because that was that a Friday game?
No, they didn't.
No, it was Saturday. It was Saturday before.
Yeah, before Thanksgiving. We had the whole week off for Thanksgiving back in those days.
That's right.
Ryan.
That's right.
In case you didn't know.
Right. Those days.
They still do now.
Because they had those random years where they played on Friday, like the Friday after
they
started, Black
Friday.
They did
Friday that
game.
From, I think it was 2012 to 2014 or something like that. It may have been 2010. It was 2010 because 2010 was a Friday game. I just know it was while I was working in retail, and of course Black Friday is the worst possible day for them to try to schedule a freaking football game. We also used to play it before Thanksgiving, Ryan, because Auburn got a whole week off between our last game, and Auburn and Alabama both got a whole week off between our last game and SEC tournament or SEC championship game.
That's wild. Right. Yeah, that was definitely the two lower moments. I would say the high moment, I mean, obviously besides the 04 Sugar Bowl going undefeated, but...
that was during your victory lap.
Yeah, well, no, man, I was there. That was the first senior year.
Right.
Oh, man of exquisite taste like myself.
I mean, co-op.
That's it.
That really count. Co-op, that really count.
I believe I went to a victory lap plus another fall semester just to really make it count. So
I'm 6-0 against myself with my bachelor's degree.
That's what I'm talking English. About. Now, my high point was probably 04 year, the LSU game.
Oh, yeah.
With the catch, the catch at the end. So, yeah, that's just, ugh.
Could you imagine a game ending now? Was that 9-7 was the final of that game?
Well,
yeah. Is that right? Or 9-6? No.
Well, the other thing with that, that's the game that got. 10-7. That got game.
10-9.
That game got postponed for Katrina? Is that the
one?
No,
that was
the
next, 2005.
Ivan.
10-9. Could you imagine an Auburn game this season ending 10-9? People would be losing their minds.
I used to love that. I used to love tub of ball, man. I used to love it.
Oh, I think it's probably the only way you can win in Athens is some BS 10-9 score like that.
Yeah. I don't remember what it's like to win in Athens, Ryan.
It's okay, me either.
Yeah.
Have we won in your memory?
I was 10 years old.
Oh, God. So. Oh, God.
Ryan, gosh.
Wah, again.
Ryan's barely drinking age at this point, I feel like. There are whiskeys older than him you could buy at the store.
Well, do we want to talk about wide receivers a little bit since we did that on the site this week? Because there's the same drought that we have in Baton Rouge of losing since 1999. That's also the last time we had a 1,000-yard receiver. So maybe those things going hand in hand.
Oh my God.
Do we have a quarterback that can get him the ball?
Hey.
Whoa. You know, another question?
Oh, hey now.
Maybe.
Luke, we'll ask you the question from the website. Yeah. Is Auburn going to have a 1,000-yard receiver this year?
So I saw that everybody's very confident that Bo Nix is going to throw for 3,000
yards. Yeah, is Bo Nix going to throw for 3,000 yards?
If everybody's very confident that he's going to do that, then I would say I would for sure hope so, that one of them stepping up to be a 1,000-yard receiver. But I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with the under.
All right. And now, who is Auburn going to have a 1,000-yard rusher? And who would it even be?
I would say yes, because in Gus's tenure, that has been kind of a staple. It's a 1,000-yard rusher.
Not last year.
Not last year. Before. Until you last know, year. Sorry.
Both years with Booby.
Was it 2 years in a row?
Well,
you had a two-star running back.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I would hope so. That he's kind of gotten into this running back by committee, which means it's really not happening. And here recently, I feel like there's been a lot of running backs that kind of get in the doghouse early, either by fumble rooskies or by off-field extracurricular activities. So I feel like if you can find a guy that's going to be clean all year and is going to, you know, he kind of sticks with them if they're they start it. So
if he finds a guy, it's like that
that's the guy.
The ground.
And is DJ Williams going to be that guy, or is
Tank
going to be that guy?
Or Sean Shivers going to be that guy?
Sean Shivers is not
300 carry Sean Shivers.
I really hope he is.
And that's not going to happen.
I hope he's the next work done.
Oh my gosh. So.
Ryan, work done was a running back for Florida State.
Played for the Falcons.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right. Played for the Falcons. So he's part of your consciousness.
I have no idea what his college career looks like.
The fact that you don't think of him as a Buccaneer first is also telling.
Work done is a great guy, though, by all accounts.
Oh, fabulous. Oh. Yeah. All his.
Yeah, he does a lot.
For sure.
Every year they would show another video of him building houses. It led me to believe that Warwick Dunn is responsible for basically half of the house in Florida.
And the other half are Jimmy
Like, Hunter, he built so half of Florida.
Just all this one guy. Georgia.
He is the Florida Department of Housing Authority. He's the DHA for the entire state of Florida. So, okay, Luke, last thing before we let you go.
Sure.
Yeah, you got to put a kid to sleep.
Hey, man.
What do you think How many wins is Gus safe? You know what? I'm asking you the hypothetical from the other day.
Okay.
This is the hypothetical we're going to ask everybody else on this show, so you're the first one to ask it.
Okay.
You've got 3 seconds left. Auburn basketball down by one.
Oh, I was about to say Nick Marshall.
It might still be the answer.
Our basketball's
go ahead.
It could be an answer. It could be an answer.
I don't know.
Our basketball's down by one. You've got one player from the Bruce Pearl era is allowed to throw the ball in, so get to inbound the ball.
Okay.
This is a baseline out of bounds play.
Okay.
Okay, under your own basket.
Okay.
And another player from the Bruce Pearl era has to catch and shoot the ball because 3 seconds left. You really don't have time for a pass and a shot. Who do you choose to inbound the ball, and who do you choose to pass the ball?
So I've got Jared Harper will probably take my shot because he can at least create if it's got to be a two or three.
You just need a bucket. Now
just need a bucket. Plus, he might get fouled, and he's clutch at the free throw line. The charity stripe.
I didn't even think about that.
So that would be my shooter. As far as an inbound passer, we talked about this the other day, and I almost wanted to go with height for the inbound to guarantee that it gets in, but he's not a very good passer.
You're talking about Austin Wiley.
But I would go with Austin Wiley just because of height and getting it over whoever's guarding
the inbound.
Interesting
angle of attack going from Austin
Bruce likes
down
to do
Jared.
That.
Yeah, it's just, it's, you know, hey, geometry aside, so it still could work. Yeah, that would
tallest guy thrown to your shortest guy.
You know, Drew said, son of Crow said that Isaac Okoro for the inbounds. I think that's a good one too. He's a high quality passer, high IQ, right?
Yeah,
basketball IQ.
Your free
on
throw
that.
Thing, I hadn't thought about. It's got me thinking Austin Wiley for the catcher.
That's true.
Because the dude shot a free throw for every bucket. Like,
I know.
He literally.
I know, but
he's not going to win you the game, though.
His hands. No. And his hands. He dropped more passes. I felt like fumbled more balls down there.
No, man. This is. You guys are.
Yeah.
You're preaching to Chiefs ears. I'm not. I'm part of the Austin Wiley actually has good hands. We just.
No
just,
way, dude.
We notice it more because of how big he is.
No way. He's got big shoulders. He does not have big. I mean, he cannot.
He is gigantic.
He's a big guy.
His
pretty
hands,
big guy.
Man.
So you notice it when he drops the pass, whereas you don't notice it when
Bryce Brown
does.
He just
because he's 30 feet from the
He just needed some like pine tar on his hands. Is what he needed.
Serious stickle.
Yeah,
stickle.
There we go. Baseball helmet.
Or if he just wore gloves.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he just wore the gloves, would that be obvious?
It'd be really funny if he wore one glove, like Nick Marshall style.
Hey, but that would help.
Speaking of. Nick Marshall or Jason Campbell? That's the real question.
Nick Marshall or Jason Campbell?
However you want to answer that.
Oh, this is the Ryan.
Ryan believes that Nick Marshall is the second best quarterback. The best quarterback to never win a Heisman at Auburn is Nick Marshall.
Best quarterback to never
at
win
all.
A Heisman?
Not in general.
And Chief and I are both saying that Jason Campbell is the best quarterback to never win a Heisman at Auburn.
So Jason Campbell's season in the 04 was probably one of the best individual seasons we've had.
At quarterback.
Man, I don't know. Nick Marshall was the best play option, pass option quarterback I think I've ever seen. I think I'm going to go with Jason Campbell. I'm biased on it because I was there. But I think Jason Campbell's your best quarterback to never win a Heisman.
One of those guys played quarterback in the NFL for like 30 years.
10 years. He literally was a 10-year NFL veteran.
Other guys, the defensive back for the Edmonton Eskimos. Nothing against the Eskimos.
I don't know that
but
that's right.
Is that? No, it is right. Edmonton Eskimos.
They're really called the Eskimos.
I know. It's offensive. I don't know how. No one brings it up because it's in Canada, I guess.
Yeah.
It should be the Inuits.
Well, they'd have to move towns because it wouldn't be alliterative.
First Peoples, the Edmonton First Peoples.
Ooh, I like that.
Would be that.
Native.
The true politically correct, because not even Native American isn't correct, because I'm Native American.
Sure.
Oh, it's
and that I'm
First People.
Yeah, First Peoples.
Indigenous.
Yes.
It's actually a better term, because it is what it is, as opposed to Native American.
Yeah. Jason Campbell's my answer, sir.
Yeah,
I'll stick with
I wanted your input since right. you weren't just there for the 2004. You got the whole Jason Campbell experience.
Sure. Yeah, no. Hey, and it was funny. Drew asked me the other day. He said, hey, you know, would you in the Gus Malzahn era, besides Cam Newton, who would you take as your you know, you got one last
drive. This is the other hypothetical question.
Yeah, what's the one last drive? Who's going to be your quarterback?
Ball on the five. Your ball's on your own five.
He didn't like the fact that I said Chris Todd.
hey, dude. Todd did great.
The fact that Gus Malzahn got that guy.
Add me on LinkedIn, Chris. Respond to my friend request.
Just come with walk up to the stadium with me and Jeremy next time, Crow. We stop off and talk to old Chris Todd every now and then.
Come on, man. Chris Todd, what's up?
All right, let's stop, pause for a quick break, and then we'll come back with some more of this same nonsense.
Thanks, guys.
All right, and we're back at 25 minutes and 14 seconds left in the pod. Or not left. Left.
You only got to deal
25
with
minutes of
25.
25 minutes and 14 seconds expired in the pod. We've gone for that long, not left.
It's a soccer clock.
Special thanks to Luke. Clock. Yeah, it's soccer clock. Exactly. Well, not a college soccer clock, to my chagrin. So Luke hit on a couple of the questions I wanted to pose to you, gentlemen. Right. First one is balls at your own five. And this was not my original question. I don't know whose idea it was on Twitter. So my apology at me, and I'll give you credit. I promise. I'm not a jerk.
Well.
But someone asked, you've got to lead a Ryan, you've got to lead a scoring drive in the fourth quarter. Balls on the five. You got one quarterback. You can choose really any like offense. It could be, you know, whatever receivers. Put it this way. The best offensive line, the best running back, the best receivers in the Gus Malzahn era are all together on your team. Who's your quarterback to lead this game-winning drive?
How much time do I have?
You got...
I mean, is this a two-minute
drill? Two-minute drill. But Luke says Chris Todd, but I meant Gus Malzahn head coaching era, not OC era.
So it's since Cam Newton. Is there any other option besides Nick Marshall? I mean, who are you really taking?
Oh, the guy who's the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, Ryan? Maybe he's an option?
It's not guaranteed yet.
Also, he hasn't really played a game in the NFL, so let's not get too carried away with that either.
He also beat number one Alabama and number one Georgia.
It's true.
Nick Marshall threw 460 yards against Bama.
Good God.
Look,
losing effort.
I can have Nick throw into Duke Williams, you don't have to have anybody else in the field.
But what if you could have Jarrett behind Nick's offensive line throwing to Duke Williams?
But that was a rogue-rated offensive line, though. I don't know if they were the best pass-blocking offensive line.
They were probably better than what he had.
Fair.
That's true. That's not a very bold statement there.
Like look at the 15 team that Jeremy Johnson was the quarterback of. You take Jeremy Johnson out and put Jarrett Stidham in, team may be conference champs.
Mm. Yeah.
They went.
That team was awesome, Ryan.
Was it? Who was
that roster was good.
But I mean, you didn't have much at receiver, you didn't have much at running back.
2015? Yeah, it's Sammy Coates and Duke Williams at receiver.
No, Duke got kicked off the team 2 weeks in, and Sammy.
Oh, well, was, sure.
His last year was 2014, I think. Wasn't it?
I thought 2015 was supposed to be the year because you had Duke and Sammy. I'm almost positive this is the case. This is an Auburn podcast, and we don't really know this very contentious piece of Auburn history. But I'm picking Jarrett Stidham.
Are you?
No.
Wait, time out. If I get the best at every other position. Now, if I don't get the best, if I have to have a quarterback that can make plays, then like, yeah, I'll take Nick Marshall. But you give me an offensive line that can give Jarrett Stidham a couple of seconds. He doesn't throw incompletions. And he doesn't throw interceptions.
The leading receiver on the 2015 team was Ricardo Lewis. The second leading receiver was Melvin Ray.
Wow.
Jeez.
Things went dark.
He only had 280 yards. That was the second leading receiver.
Melvin Ray.
Wow.
Look, do I get to pick Tucker Tuberville to play quarterback?
Well, I like – look, don't – and also don't discount Ricardo Lewis on that team. Ricardo Lewis played for the Colts forever. He's still in the league.
Is he?
I don't think that's true.
I think he's still in the league.
Are you thinking of Quan Bray? I think he played for the Colts for a while.
Quan Bray. He did play for the Colts for a couple years.
Ricardo Lewis played all 16 games in 2016 and 17 for the Cleveland Browns. Combined, totaled for 500.
He plays for the Dolphins. He is currently on the Miami Dolphins.
Well, he didn't play for the Dolphins last year. He was just on the practice squad.
He received a paycheck from the Miami Dolphins last season.
Hey, making the practice squad can't be a complete awful player and do that, right? You got to be pretty good to make it that far.
The problem was he missed the entire 18 season with a neck injury.
Hmm.
So they cut him. The Browns cut him after his neck injury because they're a bunch of jerks. And he signed with the Dolphins. And so he was on injured reserve in 19. So Ryan's out here acting like dude can't play. He was on the squad the whole year. He just couldn't play because he hurt his neck. He re-signed him. And on February 4th, they re-signed him to another one-year deal. So even with a broken neck, he's still getting checks.
It's pretty good.
So don't sleep on Ricardo Lewis. I will not abide any Ricardo Lewis slander in this podcast.
Fourth best receiver Gus's tenure?
He's the only one still in the league.
Again, I think Duke is in the league. And Darius Slayton's in the league.
That's true. Duke is in the league.
We got a couple.
Duke just dropped into the league from a helicopter and just started catching touchdowns, right? Like, he just...
Well, he went to Canada for a couple of years.
Right.
And, that's true. He just wasn't in the league for a while. All of a sudden, his first game, catch touchdown pass.
So it's almost like he's a pretty good player that...
Sammy Coates, out of the league. Mm. Ricardo Lewis, still getting them checks.
But all of these guys are, I think it's safe to say, not as good as Seth Williams.
Yeah, look, I agree with you, Ryan. You're talking to the chief of the Seth Williams fan club. I feel like I have to go on our Slack every day and defend Seth Williams' honor.
So there's a really good shot that he becomes the all-around second best receiver to ever play for Auburn this year, statistically at least.
He is the Jarrett Stidham of wide receivers at Auburn. Dude is so good, and yet Auburn fans just don't even sleep on him. That's expected.
People don't think he's any good.
Yeah, I
haven't encountered that.
I think he went to Texas and just maybe he doesn't have much awareness out there.
I have heard people say things like he takes plays too many plays off. He doesn't run good routes. He should be a lot better than he is. I've heard all this other nonsense.
He single-handedly won us at least two games over the last 2 years, the A&M game in 2018 and the Oregon game in last season.
Last season's Oregon game, Ryan, that pass that Bo Nix made, everybody's like, oh, the Bo Nix pass. That was not a great pass. That was one of the worst passes, and it was saved by an incredible play.
Well, he just
so you were correct.
Threw it up there and trusted Seth to get it. It's not that it was a
credit where credit's due. He's a legend receiver, make a play.
Yeah. It's not like he's out.
That's what I say when I'm like, let me underthrow this ball real quick.
It's not like he's out there point shaving like
now
another
wait a minute,
former
one of the Auburn receivers in the league right now.
Yes.
Who also just catch a touchdown pass.
That rhymes with Sarius Dlayton.
Who I think just scored on Purdue again.
Man alive. Remember when there were a lot of folks really excited about that Purdue game? Like it meant something?
But it was still fun.
I mean, remember that exact same thing, but then Minnesota the next year?
Right.
Bowl games are stupid, guys.
Yeah.
They don't mean anything and no one cares.
Don't play the Big Ten. That's the lesson.
I think we've been on this. Well, I mean, one Big Ten, turned out great. The other one
did. One of them. Yeah, but like Wisconsin never works out.
Yeah.
The issue is you don't ever know going into the game which of these two teams cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, which of these two teams is taking this extremely seriously and which one is not?
Right. And when there's a big power imbalance between the two teams, like if it's a team that's used to making big bowl games like Auburn and a team that's not, then one team's going to be really fired up and the other team's just going to be like,
call it UCF if you
will. Yeah.
But again, all that went out the window when we played Purdue in Nashville.
Yeah, there were some people that were
taking
a lot of.
Yeah, it was the opposite. Yeah, because it was like Purdue should have been fired up about that game and Auburn shouldn't have been fired up at all.
Well,
but instead, it was like, let's just murk this team.
I think the difference there is Purdue was terrible.
No, what I've been told by sources inside the facility is that the difference there was Auburn really didn't care about this Purdue game until they showed up in Nashville and Purdue was talking noise at all the pre-bowl events.
That seems
pretty
dumb.
Yeah.
Especially when you
like Purdue was really bad talking
like
noise.
The Purdue team was.
And then, so then Auburn like apparently had like position groups have hotel room film sessions. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, look, let's go back to the lab and let's really check what this Purdue team's got out because they're talking a lot of noise. We got to make sure we win this game. And then, apparently, the rumor is after the first series of Purdue on offense, the defense, Auburn's defense, basically said they've got nothing for us, and that was it. First of the game.
Interesting.
That basically the Auburn defense was like, this is a joke. We should not even be doing this. Someone's
going to
get hurt.
The difference there with that Minnesota is Minnesota was had a great game plan, and it just so happened to be one that Kevin Steele has had trouble Kevin Steele defenses have had trouble with in the past. And
right.
They had a great formula for executing that. So, I mean, that's just what happened there.
All right, so let me ask you guys the same question that Luke answered.
Okay.
Earlier. The 3 seconds left question. 3 seconds left, so it's not just a catch and shoot. A guy has time to catch, you got a couple of dribbles and then a pull up. Inbounding the ball into your own basket. Who's inbounding the ball for you in the Bruce Pearl era, and who is taking your shot?
I think you're right with Okiki throwing the ball in.
That was my answer, was Chuma.
Or
you say throwing the ball in?
I have Okoro throwing the ball in.
Shooting the ball, I think I'm going to go Bryce Brown.
You just need 2 points.
Right, which is why I also agreed with Jared. I remember.
I don't like inbound Jared and you're on your own side of the court just because – you're leaving a lot of room for an errant pass or even a pass across midcourt where Jared's going to have to turn around, get back up, and shoot.
Well, I trust Jared to get up the court more than I do anybody else, though.
Right. I mean, the play that we saw at the end of the Georgia game
two years ago,
the perfect play.
Where's the inbound? That's the question. If it's under your own basket, then that's your own basket.
So I want Chuma getting the ball because he can take the three if it's open, but if they give him a lane, he's taking it to the basket.
The idea of if I can get the ball to Austin Wiley.
You can get a clean look, sure.
Throw
a hoop.
Yeah. If I have Okoro and I can get the ball. No!
Throwing an oop? Anthony hit way more of those than Austin did.
I would like to see Austin Wiley's 2-point percentage versus Anthony's 2-point percentage because I bet they aren't even close.
I'm forgetting somebody because.
Actually,
I get the ball to Austin Wiley.
Because I answered this different the other day. I'm forgetting who else I said because they.
Ryan, if I remember correctly, Austin at one point was the true shooting percentage leader. Effective field goal percentage leader.
I'm not trusting him to catch an
oop. Because of twos.
I'm not trusting him to catch an oop, though.
Not an oop. You have 3 seconds. You don't need an oop. All you got to do is give him the ball on the block, and he gets fouled.
But I'm not trusting him to catch the ball.
Austin Wiley last season, 57.8% from two. Anthony McElmore, 62.3.
There we go.
Oh.
Anthony was money. I don't know how he had any kind of respectable effective field goal percentage for 3-point shooting, yeah. But that 62% helps.
What's the effective field goal percentage for Austin?
The same as his 2 points, isn't it?
Yeah, he took 1-3, I think.
No, true shooting takes into account threes.
Okay.
No, they both take into account threes. True shooting takes into account free throws.
The threes are worth more than twos. Yeah.
So, effective field goal percentage for Austin, 57%, and for Anthony, 51%, because of all the threes that he took.
And because of free throws. No, sorry, not, yeah. I'd give the ball to Austin at the block. I would rather have the ball in a 7-footer's hand 2 feet away with 3 seconds left. A guy who, what was his free throw rate?
Free throw rate?
Oh, I remember
him. 1%. Pretty much. Yeah.
Samir. I think I'd give the ball to Samir. The Duke.
Samir's a good, the Duke Samir's a good choice.
He can get to the bucket, yeah. And he can make shots go in somehow.
And Luke was right, too. Jared gets fouled a lot. Yeah. Jared was, if I was not an Auburn fan, I would have hated Jared Harper.
If you're well, inbounding under the other team's basket, I'm obviously getting it to Jared. I mean, I don't think there's any question there.
Oh, I have to go the full 90?
Yeah.
93 feet? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because
he's just going
to
pull
in that case, if I've got 94 feet to go, I'm having Austin inbound it to Jared.
Yeah. Does it matter who's in? Oh, I guess they're putting the pressure on you.
But. Now, here's the thing about Austin is we don't really have a lot of tape on him passing the ball. Like the guy.
No, but he did actually
scoring or
yeah,
missing a shot. Like he's not really passing. He didn't pass out of the block a lot. I think we lost Crow.
No, I'm still here.
We might have. But yeah, you're right. He didn't pass out much. I remember from last year it was
guys, they think I'm
almost
gone
a perfect
again.
Split between him shooting or getting fouled. But
these guys notice, hate Austin Wiley.
Notice none of us have said Angel, who has been the main inbounder for like 3 years.
Well,
I will not allow them to slander Austin Wiley's good name on this podcast.
But you know, whatever. I do think I might go Samir if you've just got to get a shot. Because he can also knock down the three, but he also has just got a knack for creating a shot, and especially driving to the bucket.
Crosby. Yeah, there he is.
I've been back. I've never was gone.
Interesting.
I think that they can see the whole time, listeners, and they just randomly choose to pretend like I can't hear me.
We could see your picture, but that was it was frozen in time.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you who had a great 2-point percentage last year was Jalen Williams. 79%.
Well, see, I think this coming season you might see that
guys,
as the option.
I'm just fully bought into the fact that I think Bruce was hiding Jalen Williams so that he would not
go pro.
Really, honestly.
That was my idea, wasn't it, on this podcast?
Yeah, maybe
he's been to my purpose.
I really think that's what he was doing.
Man, what an amazing spy versus spy move by Bruce Pearl.
Because I think he recognized Jalen's personality is not was a guy that could handle it, that wasn't gonna like freak out and just leave if he didn't get to play, and he
kind of helped save the season, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, and we had the situation with D'Angelo where he knew he couldn't take minutes away from D'Angelo.
Because D'Angelo had gone through so much.
Yeah.
He had earned those minutes.
Sure.
Regardless of his performance on the floor. And I know, like, some coaches say, no, the only thing that earns minutes is performance on the floor. But at some point, you owe a guy.
Sure. And I think D'Angelo's previous performances had earned that spot.
Peak D'Angelo is really good.
And, I mean, by the time we saw Jalen start getting minutes, D'Angelo had sort of earned less time on the floor. So,
right.
And that coincided with Isaac getting hurt too.
Yes. But If there's one person I'm excited about seeing this next year, it's Jalen Williams for sure. I like the way he handles his business. He is very it's weird. It's sort of lack of personality on the floor.
He's old school with the short shorts and the
Well, he's very early Malik because I don't know if you remember Malik's early days on the team. Malik was sort of the same way, just shirt tucked in, just perfectly shorts. It was weird. I'm not like in love with the like straight lace, you know, look, but it's just weird seeing that in juxtaposition to the things that Malik could, because Malik had no tattoos at the time or visible ones, and that in juxtaposition to what he could do on the floor and what he would do on the floor, he was willing to just try to dunk on anybody, which was amazing. And Jalen's the same way. He threw the ball to himself off the glass this year. I mean,
yeah, if that doesn't work, that's going to get you back on the bench real quick, but it worked.
But so. Jalen to me seems somewhat like Chuma. He seems a little more outgoing than Chuma, but in that he's still just a kid and a very, very talented kid.
I think next year he and Devin Cambridge are going to be the perfect yin yang for each other.
Sure. I can see it.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this question. If you could take any player from the Bruce Pearl era pre Final Four team. Mm-hmm. And put them on the next year's team, who would it be?
Jared Harper.
KT Hurrell.
No, not Jared Harper.
KT Hurrell, no questions asked. And...
Well, he is on the team, Ryan. He's a valued member of the team. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
this is a Nick Chubb podcast. Not Nick Chubb, Rob Chubb. Sorry, not Nick Chubb. On there, yeah. Chubb, Georgia running back.
He never played for Bruce, though. So,
right.
What
about one of the TJs?
Yeah, doesn't do much for me.
Fitzgerald
was a elite 3-point shooter.
You know what? I might take Dunnins. TJ Dunnins. You
guys are crazy.
You're not a Dunnins fan?
Send me on Bowers.
Actually, the real answer is Tyler Harris, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right.
That's the senior leadership.
He could play.
He's gonna be your like seventh man, eighth man off the bench. But he's
actually on that roster for next year, unless we sign some three that I don't know about.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe a nice little piece.
Yeah, but
to have Tyler Harris. But the starting three
leadership
yards.
Of Tyler Harris, I think, is what would be great. Just having that.
Yeah,
that guy. I mean, KT also fulfills that position. Tyler Harris is just like the consummate, like, Bruce player.
I would either probably go KT or Antoine Mason. He was only there for a year.
I like Antoine Mason.
That would be like the grad transfer Auburn needs this year.
You guys aren't picturing the Simeon Bowers point guard, Sharif Cooper shooting guard lineup that I'm thinking of. Imagine Sharif off ball with that beautiful man, Simeon Bowers, taking the ball off the court.
Hey, don't count out Jordan Granger either.
I like Jordan Granger.
If we're getting any fights, then yes, I'll take Jordan. But
yeah, like, because I think this team might need a little mean to him. Because I don't see a mean guy. I don't know a lot about these new guys, but they're all freshmen. So.
Devin got in a little bit of trouble.
Well.
On the court trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, Devin Cambridge committed one of the most atrocious
Jesus.
violent acts I've seen.
Man.
Now, you imagine Simeon Bowers, Devin Cambridge, and Stretch. That's a 3-4-5. Nobody's going in the lane against those guys.
Wait, is Sim playing the five in this scenario?
He's playing the four, okay. And Stretch is playing the five. Okay. Sim plays wherever you want him, man.
That's true.
Duke can literally play all five positions.
From a utility perspective, I think Sam might actually be the choice here. What a guy.
He's the most underrated Auburn player in history.
Simultaneously overrated as well.
No votes for Kareem Canty.
Nope.
I like Kareem Canty, man, but
okay.
No.
Man, I'm Tyler Harris.
Pat Kime, maybe.
I mean,
no, Ryan.
if we need to throw a guy in at the end of a Alabama game to rip their highly rated point guard, sure.
Guys, did you know that there exists? So one of my favorite things to do is look up highlight tapes on YouTube of players. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing is when those videos are named crazy things. There exists in the world a YouTube video called The Send Me On Bowers Auburn Tigers Movie.
Oh
man.
Excellent.
It is 11 minutes and 53 seconds long. And I think we should all watch it before next week's game, next week's podcast, only to next remind game. Ourselves how great he was. Oh, he go behind the back. Yeah, I'm watching this right now, as a matter of fact.
Was that behind the back on the coast to coast?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Here's
he could play. I will go to my grave with Simeon Bowers in a Bruce Pearl offense with better players, with, you know, Jared, Chuma Okeke, and my guy Bryce Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That is unbelievable what he could accomplish.
What Tony Barbie era player would you have on next year's team?
Does KT Harrell still count?
No, we'll disqualify the people already mentioned.
Taj Shamsuddin?
A healthy Taj?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? But I don't think
Frankie Sullivan as a senior point guard backup.
I like Frankie Sullivan.
I'm the biggest, world's biggest Frankie Sullivan hater. I can't say.
No.
That's Chief.
I can't.
I went and saw Frankie Sullivan play in the state championship game his senior high school because I had heard, here's a kid coming to Auburn. He had scored like 60 or something crazy in a game. I was like, I got to go see this kid play. And I remember leaving going, oh, my God, Auburn's going to go to the Final Four. But that was my first thought after leaving that game was, we've got an absolute machine.
The obvious answer is Kenny Gabriel, by the way.
Right.
the best player. I mean, if you want to disqualify the heads and shoulders best player in Kenny Gabriel, I guess you guys are going with Frankie.
I'm probably going with Chris Denson, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say Chris Denson.
I'm either going to go with Kenny Gabriel or Taj or Simeon Bowers.
I'm not as concerned with our point guard as I am other areas of play, though.
Gosh, Sam Bowers just owned Kentucky.
Man.
This is a great podcast where one guy just watches a Simeon Bowers YouTube highlight video for three.
You should just record a reaction pod to the Simeon Bowers Auburn the movie.
The Simeon Bowers Auburn Tiger movie has 17,025 views.
Really?
Make it 26.
That's a lot of views.
I believe it was put on by, it was uploaded by a Spanish basketball. Like pro basketball agency trying to get guys to be signed in like Latin American leagues. If I had to guess.
Could Sonny Smith have won more games than Tony Barbie at Auburn? If Sonny Smith coached that 4 years that Tony Barbie was here, would he have won more games?
That's a great question, Ryan, on our hypothetical podcast. He for sure would have had more fan support.
Yeah.
Low bar there.
I don't know. I don't know what nearly 80 year old Sonny Smith's recruiting game would be like.
He's not these days. 90 now, is he?
He's in his 80s, early 80s.
He is 83 now. Yeah. So you okay?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, hitting the pavement recruiting. I don't know if that would have worked out too well for him at that point. It may not have worked out any worse than it did for old Barbie, but
I was about to say, he doesn't have too much room to go down. So,
yeah,
guys, did you know that one of my favorite things? If anybody who knows Simeon Bowers is listening to this, please reach out to him and have him come on this.
Oh my God, but, that'd be fun.
Because I would love to ask him about he played in the year that Auburn had those alternate uniforms that had the tiger print on the shorts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember those? And I would love to know more about this because I liked them and they only lasted like a year.
Yeah.
And I want to ask him questions about Serbia because we've both been to Belgrade. I had a lot of questions for Simeon Bowers. What was it like for Simeon Bowers in Belgrade, Serbia?
Have you ever been to Racine, Wisconsin?
No, that's where he's from, isn't it?
I feel like there's another famous basketball player from Racine, Wisconsin, but I couldn't tell you who.
What is it like for a 6'7", 250-pound American in Belgrade, Serbia?
Not just an American in Serbia, too. He's a black man in Serbia. Which must have been quite the adventure.
And then you play in this basketball tournament thing that I didn't know really existed until all of a sudden I'm supposed to care about it so much.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're on the same page on that. I don't understand where this thing came from.
It's a bunch of Auburn guys playing essentially a pickup basketball.
I'll probably watch it.
I don't like it popping up and people acting. It's okay.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it. Don't get me wrong.
I watch our boys.
We're 3 weeks away. The first game's 4th of July.
But I don't want to buy. I'm not going to buy a T-shirt.
Well, did you guys notice there's a bunch of other players on the team that never got their own little special announcements?
Because they weren't Auburn fans.
Well, there's the one guy, the McGee guy, got his own special announcement. But then there's
the all-time 3-point made leader in college basketball.
Yeah.
Speaking of T-shirts, how much would you have to like a news network to buy and wear a T-shirt of said network?
I did see someone point out that if you're going fishing, you usually just pick the shirt off the bottom of the pile.
But Chief, unless maybe like they sent it to him.
Which could be possible.
But him, like Mike Gundy, most likely owns 7 gazillion Oklahoma State t-shirts.
Yeah.
You would think a 2009 Oklahoma State offensive lineman weightlifting party t-shirt would be at the bottom.
Fish guts on it. I don't know. That said, Mike Gundy seems like maybe he could be a bit of a kook.
He might be the worst, so it seems like. But think about, like, I don't love any television station enough.
Yeah.
Much less a news organization. Cannot wait to bust out this Food Network t-shirt. It's Diners, Dives, and Dives night tonight, guys.
If I got a USA t-shirt circa, like, 2006, I probably would have worn it.
Oh, just for the wings alone. Was Wings on in 06, Ryan?
I'm thinking of Burn Notice. That's what I was watching on USA. But
oh, man, Wings. Ryan was an incredible sitcom. Oh,
Wings. What a,
came on
USA.
Watch it,
Ryan. You should find it. It's probably on Netflix or something now.
As was Jag, which was Jag. One of the first episodes that made me feel real things as a man about a woman. Was me as like a 14-year-old boy watching Jag.
Jag. Yeah, but Wings is just an excellent sitcom, right? Burn Notice. You're a big Burn Notice guy.
I was a decade or 15 years ago.
I've never watched one Burn Notice. No one has watched less Burn Notice than me.
It is super cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
But good. It's got Bruce Campbell in it. That's why I watched it.
Unlike
me and my buddy Ronaldo were both into it. That's one of, we used to talk about it a lot.
Catherine Bell.
Catherine Bell? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was the one that made me realize what it meant. Boy to be Caliente, a male.
As the Texans say. I don't know if you guys say that.
It's true. We don't. Guys, it's been fun. It's been 1 hour and 5. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more probably about the same stuff. I hope sports comes back between now
and then. Is the same stuff nothing?
Okay. Yeah, nothing. Maybe we'll have some more questions.
If you listen to this, Tribe. About next week, guys.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to take this off.
Hold on. We can't let this end without talking about Erling Haaland's back of the head header in the dying
minute. Against my beloved Dusseldorf.
I know.
But still, I love seeing Dortmund win.
A lot of old Dusseldorfians with mixed emotions over that game, huh?
Dusseldorfers.
Dusseldorfers? Is that their...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like mine better.
It's Dusseldorf is way funnier and also true, which is great.
But yeah, that was a hell of a game. Ryan, the man who will most likely win the Young Player of the Year award in, or it's Rookie of the Year, I think is what they call it. I'm not sure how that translates in German. In the German Bundesliga, he scored in literally the last second of the game. With using the back of his head to head it into the goal, which is not the preferred method of heading a ball.
Whenever he gets the job.
No, it's a much more higher degree of difficulty.
It was probably just on a lark that he did it. Probably didn't know it was going to go in, if I had to guess.
He was having a laugh, as the Brits would say.
But yeah, we got Premier League starting back up tomorrow. Set your teams. Everybody, if you play fantasy.
Do I need to do that again?
I sent a message to the DM group DM to sign, because
this is now a fantasy Premier League. Because
you have
podcast.
To re-sign up.
I probably won't.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
We just lost Lydia.
My buddy Sky, who was leading the league, although his lead had...
Wait, same guy?
No, not Sky Underwood.
Okay.
Sky. He was leading the league, and he's very upset now because the people that run the official Fantasy Premier League site suck. Like, they just let each week just keep going and scoring no points, and then they're like, oh, if you have a head-to-head league, then you have to start it over again. And
he's right. That's the worst thing about this pandemic.
Yeah,
100%.
It's awful.
He's
not
right
for me.
He really is. He's the most affected guy.
I still get to be the reigning Fantasy Premier League champ after this. Sky is going to be, he's so mad about it. Anyway.
Also from Racing Wisconsin, Caron Butler.
There we go.
Yo!
I wonder if they played together.
Tough Juice.
No. How?
Yeah, Caron Butler's nickname was Tough Juice.
How close
Juice,
are they in age?
By the way.
15 years? Caron and...
Simeon Bowers?
So Caron Butler is currently 40.
Simeon Way.
40. So,
Simeon Bowers. Bowers.
They did not play together.
No, he is 13 years older than Semyon.
I was about to say, it is biologically possible that he's his son. So,
right.
No, I don't think they played together. All right. Well.
You heard it here first, folks. All right. Guys, let's do it again next week.
Yep. Bonos.
War Eagle.